Good to get it back. Amen, brother. You front sliding? Praise the Lord. Amen. I appreciate him, Brother Chris, putting this together for us for the chart. I'm not going to get too much into the chart tonight. I left it out, but as soon as we start getting into it, I'll probably set it up off to the side while I'm teaching and be able to refer to it, and y'all can look at it. There'll be a version of it sometime in the next week or two up in the fellowship hall that you can look at any time. This one here will probably stay in my office or somewhere when we're not using it, but appreciate him putting that together for us. So this stand here, we've got something kind of rigged up to hang it on. This is Brother Zane's stand. I hope you don't mind us using it. We found it back there. You use it a lot? All right, so we kind of borrowed it. It's not perfect for it, but it kind of works. So, all right, what I want to get into tonight as we begin to study on rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what the Bible tells us to do in 2 Timothy 2:15. It says, "To study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And so we're commanded by God to study. And that's the way that we prove ourselves to God, and we can be approved unto God. Workmen, the verse talks about it being a work, a workman. And we are instructed to teach doctrine in the Bible. We looked at all those a couple weeks ago. And whenever you study the Bible, it takes some work. There's work that is involved with studying the Bible. I've been trying to study for this CDL test thing, and man, you sit there and try to go over it and study it in your mind and look up things and study it. And people today, that they don't study. This younger generation of people, that they don't hardly study anything. They don't read books. They don't study. I was talking to my wife, and it seems like every time we try to, we have a job application or job open, and we make them take some tests. We want to see if they can do basic math and basic English and those different kind of things. And every time you go to give somebody in a younger generation a test today, the first thing they say is, "I'm not good at taking tests. I'm not a good test taker." All right, well, I'm going to give you a written test. Well, I'm not good at written tests. Why are you not good at written tests? Because you're lazy. Amen? A lot of people, they're just lazy. I know there's some that have some issues, and they have a hard time, and they'd rather hear you speak it to them. But in this technology world where they're just sitting there flipping through stuff, and they're not actually reading, and they're not actually opening a book, when you hand it to them, they're scared to death, and they don't know what to do with it. But the Bible instructs us to study. Now, I have an app on my phone that's got some Bible verses on it, and I'll look at that thing sometimes, but that never, ever, ever replaces opening God's Word and having a Bible in your hand. It doesn't. Now, there's a lot of preachers that have replaced their Bible with a tablet, and you know, if they want to use it for notes, that's up to them. I do. Every now and again, I'll use mine for notes. But, man, it's not going to replace the Word of God. It can't. Man, we got to hang on to this thing. We heard tonight about Victory Baptist Press printing all these Bibles and sending them all over the place, and praise the Lord for that. We have them sitting all over our homes. I've got two in my office. I've got three or four or five at home sitting on my desk. But the thing is, we can have all of them in the world we want, but how often are they being opened, and how often are they being studied? Most studying today for preachers and teachers constitutes of them searching on Google for somebody else's notes instead of getting in there and finding it out for themselves. And we ought to study God's Word. We're instructed to do that, and it takes some work. So I want to do a study within a study here on how to study the Bible. During our Sunday school, we've gone over some basic salvation doctrines, and we've learned about salvation and imputation and justification and adoption and all those things. And you say, well, how do you develop the notes on those? And it's from reading God's Word, from studying the Bible, from listening to Bible teaching and preaching and all through the years. And you can begin to compile those notes, and you can see every time Paul's dealing with salvation and he mentions a different doctrine and he explains that doctrine, you start putting those things together. And as we look through there, we study some of those. We looked at 1 Timothy chapter 5 a few weeks ago on how it is a labor to study God's Word. It is. It's a labor. Most times, a organic message that God's given a preacher, lays on his heart, could take hours upon hours, possibly days of studying for about 30 or 45 minute message. Something that'll feed the people, though. one complaint that you hear a lot. I haven't heard it here, praise the Lord, and if it is, nobody's told me. But, you know, complaints you hear about some other churches and preachers, you say, you know, hey, how's church going? They say, well, it's dry. Why? I'm not getting fed anything. Sometimes they're not getting fed because they don't come hungry. There's that part of it. But then there's also the other part where preachers and teachers have stopped feeding the sheep. They stopped feeding, and they stopped the, you know, it takes a lot of work to study. And so I'm just going to give you a few of these things tonight, and we'll try to clean up around here. But recommendations for studying the Bible. Number one, a King James Bible. If you don't start there, if you start anywhere else, then you've got off on the wrong foot. If you're going to study the Bible, you need a King James Bible. You do not need a side-by-side NIV King James Bible. You don't need a New American Standard. You don't need a Revised Standard Version. You do not need any of those other versions to try and compare to the King James Bible. You don't have to have that. But how many times have I heard different preachers or different people tell me when they study the Bible, they've got them all laid out so they can compare them. There is no reason to compare the King James Bible to any other version of Bible at all. And so number one, have a King James Bible. If you're going to study the Bible, I'm not talking about just coming to church and opening it up as we go through here, but in your private time, you're going to study the Bible, and I think every child of God ought to have Bible study time. It might not be, we live in a busy world, we live in a busy time. You say, well, what do I do? Why don't you jot down some notes from teaching, or if Brother Heitch is teaching, jot down some of those verses, and then get home with you and God and your Bible, and open it up, say, God, this is what he taught. I want to see it for myself. And I want to study this thing out. And I want to look at these verses and all those. And I recommend that you get a King James Bible that has some margins in it. Y'all know what margins are on the outside? Some wide margins. You say, why? Because you can put some of your notes in there as you study. And we're going to get into this thing here in a little bit. But as you study, I have a notebook on my desk at home. And as I'm studying, I'm scribbling down notes, and I'm jotting it in there. And then once I get it right where I think I need to have it, and the Lord show me some things, I'll go back in my Bible, and I will carefully write it back out in my Bible in the margins. Some things God showed me when I'm studying. And I've got about three or five Bibles there at the house, and the Bible I had in Bible school is slap full from front to end with notes in the Bible. And I'll tell you what, when I'm studying my Bible, I love going back to that one. Why? Because I can read down through there, and I can read a verse, and I've got notes over here to the side of some cross references and other verses that go with that thing, and I can go study that. And so I recommend you have a wide margin King James Bible. Also have a good concordance. There's some computer-based concordances programs. I've got a big old concordance in my office, a book. I've got it on the computer also, but I've also... If you were to look at my desk right now, my wife would probably kill me for you looking at my desk because it's a mess. But I've got my Bible, and I've got the concordance, and I've got a Webster's 1828 dictionary sitting right there on my desk. And those are things I think that'll really help. There's a lot of the meanings in the Bible. A word will come up. You say, man, what does that really mean? You can pull up that Webster's 1828 and get a good definition of it and go through there. Now, there's also some commentaries you might be able to look at when you're studying also, but some of those try to correct the Bible. If they ever try to correct this Bible, it's no good in that area. Amen? Anything that tries to correct the Bible is not any good at all. And if you want some suggestions on commentaries, I might be able to try to help you out and get some. Also, it's good to have some good writing material as far as a good pen and a notebook. And so you can get through there, like I said, and write out some notes. And then once you get them, you can put them in your Bible. Having a good notebook, a highlighter, and I've got all those different kind of things when I'm going through and I'm reading. So there's different kind of studying that you can do in your Bible. There's studies you can do where you just start at the front of a book and you just start reading through there. And it's more than just reading the Bible. You're actually studying some things out. So you might read through there and see something that stands out to you. You jot a note up, you pull up your concordance, and you start looking up other times that a certain word or a phrase is mentioned in the Bible. And then you can start running that thing and looking at it in different verses, and man, God will start tying those things together for you as you start going through there. But you can study through a whole book of the Bible, and you can almost write your own commentary as you're reading through there, the things that God has given you and as you're studying through there. I like doing word studies. We might do it here sometime, but at the last church I was at, somebody was asking about studying their Bible, and I kind of went over some of this stuff, and we did a word study on the word word. And what I did is I got a big old dry erase board, and I wrote down the word word, and we said, all right, let's get our concordance out. We pulled out a concordance. I've got one right here. I've got this is a small version of the big one I've got at home, the Strong's Concordance. And we pulled up the word word. We said, all right, let's go look at the very first time it's mentioned in the Bible. And we went and looked, and there's the law of first mentions. Usually when something's mentioned first in the Bible, it carries truth throughout the whole Bible. And so you go look that thing up, and we wrote down the first time it was mentioned, the reference, and what it was referring to. And we went down through there, man, and hit a bunch of those. And that was a good study on the word word. Hey, man, you can go through a whole lot and look at that. But you can do that with different words in the Bible, and you can study through there and look, different words that kind of pop out. All right, so let me just give you a few things. Let's look over at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. You say, why are you doing all this before we start rightly dividing? Because I think it's important, if the Bible tells us to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, then we ought to know how to study the Bible. That's a good foundation. Is say, all right, well, how do you properly study the Bible? And so I'm just trying to give you a foundation to build on. And then the verse tells us to rightly divide the word of truth. So after we figure out how to study, then we can start rightly dividing and looking at the Bible and studying it that way. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you're there, say amen. Amen. All right, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse number 13. The Bible says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So number one, I'd like to say, if you're going to study the Bible, you need to believe that this is the word of God. And I don't believe we have that problem here. Amen. Everybody that's sitting here in front of me, I believe that you believe that this is the perfect and errant word of God. You believe that this King James Bible that we hold is the word of God. Now, if you start off by saying that it's only the word of God and the originals, and it could be some of these other versions, you're getting off on the wrong foot. You're starting off on the wrong foot, because that's making you the final authority and not God's word. That's one thing that separates us from a lot of other denominations and other people that, you know, whatever you want to call them, Bible teachers and all those different religions and denominations and things. That's kind of what separates us. We have a final authority, and that is God's word. It doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what Brother Height says, Brother Brian, Brother Hunter, some of these other men that might end up preaching around here. It does not matter what they say. God's word trumps it all. If we're preaching from God's word, that's great. But God's word goes above and beyond it all. We believe that this is the word of God. This is our final authority. And if you believe that it's only in the originals, like a lot of churches do, there's churches that have it up. It says, we believe the King James Bible is the word of God in the originals. Well, where's the originals? Do you have a copy of the originals? I don't. Amen. Do you believe that God can preserve His Word? He said He would. He said He would preserve the Word. Well, if He can't keep a book through the ages, how's He going to keep me saved? This book's not fighting against Him. I fight against Him. You say, what do you mean by that? This old stinking flesh. Man, I do things all the time that if I could lose it, I'd lose it. But this Bible's not even fighting against it. And you think God's going to lose a book and lose a Bible? He's preserved. You say man's been involved. Yeah, but God Himself has been involved in the preservation of this book and of this Bible. So you have to believe the Word of God. You should never, ever, ever take a man's opinion over the Word of God. I preached a few weeks ago about following God. And you can follow God's man, and you can follow me as a pastor and a teacher, Brother Heights, and some of these other men that get up and teach, as long as they're following God's word. You can follow that. But if they vary from the word of God, then that's going to be trouble. But you should never take a man's word for it. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. Say, well, how do I know? How do I know if a man is following the word of God? Well, one way you can tell is if you're holding it in your lap. Bring your Bible. There's some denomination, there's some religious groups out there. They don't want you to carry your Bible. They want to be the ones to tell you what the Bible believes, and you just go with it. And we're not like that. I don't care if you know more Bible than me. I wish you would know more. Amen. I wish everybody in here would know the Bible. Imagine a church full of people that know the Word of God. We could have conversations that go beyond the football game. Amen. Be able to discuss Bible. Amen. There's a few of you in here that we've sat down and we've started talking Bible, and I love it. I love being able to sit down and talk Bible with people because they know their Bible. But 1 John 2:27, so you say, how do I know if he's telling the truth? If he's preaching God's word. One, you got to open your Bible and look for yourself and see what the Bible says. Not only that, which number one over anything is you need to make sure you're saved. If you're not saved and you're not born again, then you cannot understand the things of God. You cannot do that. The Holy Spirit is not living in you, and you won't be able to understand it. I've had people tell me before, I cannot understand the King James Bible. And I say, you need to be saved. That's what I tell them. They don't like to hear that. But I'll say, if you can't understand it, you need to get saved. Now, let me say this. You're not, if you've been saved for 2 weeks, you're not going to understand the 10 toes and the 10 heads over in Daniel. You're not going to understand the four accounts of the tribulation in the book of Revelation. You're not going to, wow, that's strong meat of the word. But you can read that thing, and God can speak to you through that Bible. And you say, what do I, you just keep reading it, keep coming to church, be faithful, study your Bible, and God will grow you as a Christian, grow you as a child. We got some kids in here that are 5 and under, and Emma's in there. She's 2 years old. Emma could not handle if I just threw down a steak in front of her right now. She wouldn't be able to handle that. She can tear up a hot dog right now, though. You give her a hot dog, man, and she'll devour that. But a year ago, she couldn't do that. She was on milk. And so you got to grow. And so, you know, they say, well, I don't understand it. Well, either one, you're not saved, or two, you're not really studying and praying, because if you were, God would show you some things. You can read the same book 100 times, and the 100th time you're reading it, God show you something different that he didn't show you the first time because you weren't ready for it the first time. All right, 1 John chapter number 2, look at verse number 27. 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. You know what he's talking about? The Holy Spirit of God. You're saved, the Holy Spirit of God dwells inside of you, and he will teach you the word of God if you want it. He will teach you the Bible, if you want to know the truth. You study, you pray, you ask God, and you fervently, man, if you really want to know the truth, God will reveal it to you. If you do. Now, if you've received it from another man, and you say, well, man, that sounds good, I'm just going to go with it, don't do that. Pray over it. Even what I'm teaching, I mean, pray over it. And say, God, is this it, man? Lord, is this right? Is this what you want me to follow after? Is this what you want me to do? And God will show you the truth. Now, I understand that when it comes to some of the doctrines of the Bible and the biblical view, that not everybody lines up. I understand that. But there's some fundamentals of the faith that we have to line up on. One is we believe this is the King James Bible is the Word of God. We believe that salvation is grace through faith. We believe in eternal security. You cannot lose your salvation. Those are some things right there that right off the bat that if you're going to fellowship and be in agreement, you got to know those things. And as you study the Bible, God will show you and he'll reveal to you. Look at John chapter 16, verse 13. John chapter 16, verse 13. One of the jobs of the Holy Spirit, He's a comforter, but He's also to guide you in all truth. You know, this might sound foreign to some, but I believe that it's just as important for you to come to church prayed up and full of the Holy Spirit of God than it is for me to stand up full of the Holy Spirit and teach and preach. You say, why? Because if you come in and your mind's on the Word of God, and you've already been praying and said, God, would you give me something? And you're in that mindset and the Holy Spirit of God's able to work, then He can teach you something. How many times have we gone to church and we've gone through the motions and we've had everything in the world in our mind and we left out of there and didn't get anything? Why? The Holy Spirit, you say, well, there was nothing given to us. Well, what about maybe you weren't prepared to get something? Amen? We got to be prepared for the Word. Every time, even if I didn't like the preacher, even if I didn't care for him, or I didn't like the teacher, every single time I've prayed and said, God, would you show me something? He's always given me something that night or that morning. Every single time. It's never failed. And there's been some preachers, teachers I really didn't care to, you know, personality-wise, I really didn't care for them a whole lot. But you go on that thing praying, and God is always, He's never failed me. The Holy Spirit's never failed me when it comes to teaching. John 16, 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all what? Truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit of God will teach you. And the first thing that you have to have, if you're going to study the Bible, you have to believe that this is the Word of God. I like to say you have to believe the words that are on the page. I've been debating and talking to folks before about different doctrines and different strange teachings, and I'll open up a Bible, and I think I've talked to Brother Brian about this, and I'll open it up and I'll say, would you read that verse? And they'll read it and say, that's not what that means. And I didn't say anything. I just said, would you please read the verse? Why? It goes directly against what they teach. And they get upset, and they want to automatically say, well, that's not what I'm, you know, you got that wrong. All I did was ask you to read the verse. You know what I'm asking you to do? Just believe the words that are on the page. Just believe what you read, amen? You don't have to turn there for sake of time. Acts 8:30, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? In verse number 31, and he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And so there we find a man that had not been saved yet, and he was asking for guidance in the Scriptures, and somebody had to show him and reveal it to him, and then we find out he ends up getting saved. There's nothing wrong with listening to a man teach God's Word. Men are not perfect. I'm not perfect. And I know we might have some angels in here, amen. And some that are close to perfection. I'm not. And I'm going to mess up. I might say something wrong. I might read it wrong. There's some words that every time I say it, Miss Sarah makes fun of me the whole way home. Miracle's one of them. She said, I can't say that word right. And so I'm not perfect. Amen? But I love God and I love this Bible. And so one of the reasons that you have to have your Bible and that you have to, when you study, you need to know it for yourself is because I'm not perfect. I could say things wrong. Amen. I heard a preacher preaching the other day in a big way. I mean, he was preaching and thundering down, and he said, the devil died for your sins. And he just kept on going. Now, he didn't mean that, but he got twisted up in what he was talking about, talking about God defeating the devil and all, and he got twisted to the death, and everybody's looking at him like, what? He's just a man. He's not perfect. I'm not perfect. And who knows what I've said before. And but if you have your Bible in front of you, and I know sometimes if I get reading in a hurry, I'll skip words. But if you've got it there in front of you, you know exactly what the Bible says. And you can see it for yourself. And you can believe it and understand it from God's holy word. Look at Romans chapter 3 real quick. Romans chapter number 3. Some of this stuff you might already know, but for the sake of the study, I want to go over it. All right, Romans chapter 3, and look at verse number 2. Let's see. All right, Romans chapter 3. Let's just start in verse number 1. I'll read down to verse 4. Romans chapter 3, verse 1. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of the circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, and every man a what? A liar. As it is written, that thou mayest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. You say, what's a good way to study the Bible? What's a good way when I'm reading commentaries? What's a good way when I'm listening to a preacher preach or a teacher teach? Why don't you just go into that thing saying, that man's a liar, and God's word is true, and if what he says lines up with God's word, then we can go with it. You bust open a commentary, and you start reading that thing. You cannot just take their word for it. You've got to read it for yourself. When they mention a verse, you go to that verse. Let me give you an example. Go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter number 2. I'm gonna give you a real world example of this thing. When a commentary or a preacher or a teacher just tells you what something means in the Bible, you need to read it for yourself. All right? He gives us preachers, he gives us teachers. One of the qualifications for a pastor is to be apt to teach. I mean, that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to teach the Word of God. But you need to read and pray and study for yourself. And again, I'm just a human. I might get it wrong sometimes. There might be some things we disagree on, other than the fundamentals of the faith. And I understand all those things. But what I'm getting at is you should know for yourself. You should read. You should understand for yourself. All right, let me give you an example of every man's a liar, but God is true. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 2. And what I'm about to tell you really happens. All right, first John, are you there? What's the first word? And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole, what? It doesn't really mean world, it means elect. What does world mean? It means the whole world. But the Calvinists teach that it doesn't really mean the whole world. When God says world, he's talking about the elect. He's talking about those that are chosen. Because there's some that are chosen and there's some that are not chosen. All right, that's what they teach. I'm not going to get into that tonight. We'll eventually cover it as we go through here. We'll hit on a few of those things. But what does the verse say? It says whole world, does it not? It said, hey, he's the propitiation not only for your sins and for my sins, but for the sins of the whole world. He died on the cross for the whole world, and he paid for everyone's sins on the cross of Calvary, and all they have to do is accept what he did on the cross for their sins and the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they can be born again. They can be saved. All right? But they use that verse. And when you show that to them, they say, well, that world really just means the elect. All right? Is that not right? Am I teaching that right? That's what they say. And so there's an example. You say, what should I do? Every man a liar, God is true. All right? When I read that verse, and it says world, and somebody says, well, that's not really what it means. World means elect. I'm going to say, huh. And if I really want to check, I'll get my dictionary out and see what the world means. The word, see, I messed up there. It's one of the tongue twisters. And you've got to believe the words on the page. Amen? And believe and know the context of the Scripture and see what's going on. God is always truth. I've got some more examples, but I'm going to try to wrap it up. When someone is supposedly quoting the Bible to try to teach something, you need to try to look it up yourself. Sometimes, for sake of time, I'll quote some verses and all those, and it don't hurt to write it down and say, well, let me go check Brother Andrew on that, amen, and see how he's applying that, see what's going on. Now, all Scripture is given for spiritual application, so a preacher can be off preaching on something and it not have anything to do doctrinally with us today or anything doctrinally to do with what he's preaching, but it's spiritual application. You got to understand the difference there. All Scripture, spiritual, historical, and doctrinal. They're those three applications. Most preaching is spiritual application. trying to get you to be a better Christian, a better steward of God's word, trying to get you to be a better child of God and to listen to him and not sin. And so a lot of verses are used to do that, even though that verse might not necessarily apply to you doctrinally, but it can help you out. So it's best to look it up for yourself. How many of you have been listening to some kind of preaching and they quote a verse or they read a verse and immediately you say, there's something wrong with that? Anybody at all? That happens to me all the time. You know what I do? I get so upset I end up turning it off and can't listen to the rest of it. It might even be decent preaching. Amen. I was listening to, who's that guy that comes on in the mornings? The pastor over there in Atlanta. Adrian Rogers. I was listening to him the other day. He preached a good message. I've heard some of his. He gets off, starts reading a verse, said, man, that don't even sound right. Looked it up, wasn't even right. You know, it just aggravates you. You go turn it off, but you know, you pray, you stay in your Bible, you read, and eventually we could get to the point as a church where, you know, I would never intentionally allow someone to come and preach false doctrine in this pulpit or use a false Bible. They're not going to do that if I know about it. But if they ever did, and they got up and they started teaching something that wasn't quite right, or they're teaching works for salvation, or they're teaching that speaking in tongues are for today, or they're going into this election and talking about some of these things that some are chosen and some are, and they start doing that, I'm hoping that we grow as a church to the point where you say, that's not right. You know, there's something wrong there. The church I came from, I know that there's times that people would get up and they would misquote a verse. They're reading it from the Bible and quote it wrong. And, you know, they're human, and everybody in the church would turn to look at the pastor because they know that that guy just butchered that, and they want to know what Bible he's preaching out of. And I've heard him get up before and say, I know he's preaching out of the King James Bible. He butchered it tonight, you know, but he's using the King James. He just messed it up. But get to the point where you're comfortable enough with your Bible and with your studying that you believe God's word over everything. Somebody gets up, and they start teaching, and, man, it just rubs you wrong. Not because of your personal feelings, but because you've been reading your Bible and you've been praying, and the Holy Spirit says, something's not right there. There's something off about that. I'll give you another example, and I'll close. We had a missionary come through here not long ago. Some of y'all were here when that missionary came through. And that guy, I don't know what he was getting off into, but there were several of you came up to me afterwards, and I had the same feeling I did that something's off with that guy. Something off. There's something about what he was teaching. He was making an application that was supposed to be doctrinal, and there's something wrong. There's something off about that guy. And you know what? You were right on the money. There was. He was a fraud. You said, what's that? That's you listening to the Holy Spirit of God, praying, reading your Bible, and getting to there. So, number one, we'll get into some more of it, Lord willing, next week. But when you study your Bible, you have to believe that this is the Word of God. And take this over any man. Believe this is the word of God. If that man's following God's word, you can follow right along with him. Amen. All right, let's all stand.